It's time for the Big J and BB Show, hosted by Ryan Green Machine Ebner. Catch these shows live on Twitch Thursday nights at 9 o'clock Central Time on twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull.
Welcome in, everybody, to Weebisode number 6, the Neon Genesis Evangelion review. We recently, this past week or so, we watched it on Netflix from beginning to end. We watched the movie, the end of Evangelion. So we're going to get into all of that on this episode here today. As always, if you want to listen to this episode, all the other Weebisodes, the gaming episodes, the sport episodes, you go and look up Big J and BB Show on your podcast platform of choice. You also find us on Twitter at Big J and BB Show, facebook.com/BigJandBBShow. If you're looking for sweet merch, including the new Undead Red Bull and Stay Breezy masks, go to undeadredbull.tv, click on the merch tab. You can find us every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central Time on twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull. That's where we do our gaming podcast, weekly gaming podcast, live there before it goes out on the podcast platforms. While you're there, go to twitch.tv/slap_nugget, 2 P's and 2 G's. Give him a follow. If you're looking for more content with yours truly, go to @JoshBarlog on Twitter. Give him a follow. Put on the live notifications, because every Monday through Friday, Natty Nights, 8 p.m. Central Time on Josh's Twitter, where we go over national and Chicago sports news. If you want to get an ad on there for whatever, your podcast, your Twitter, your Instagram, your dog's Instagram, whatever, it's $4.99 a month. Go ahead and message him and let him know the Big J and BB Show sent you. And of course, if you're looking to upgrade your gaming chair experience, go to triumphchairs.com and use the code Big J and BB Show, all one word, for 10% off your order. Now, the crew that we have assembled this evening for this review. You got myself, Ryan Green Machine Ebner, a.k.a. the Hokage, this evening. And I am joined by Guadalupe Humoyalon Escobar. Junior, how's it going?
Hey, it's going pretty good. I just still kind of mind fucked, but so you mentally prepared for this. We'll get into that.
100%. And the man behind the madness, Big Papa fucking Sunshine himself, Metal Mike. Mike, how's it going, buddy?
Hello. I'm doing good. My brain is full of nothing but Evangelion. I can't wait to get this over with. I need something.
Like, we need something else after this, too.
Yeah, my brain's fried.
Might have to watch Soul Eater after this.
Yeah.
Because I need something different.
We need a shonen or an isekai to get away from what something, we just watched. Oh,
we need something dumb. We need a palate cleanser.
Exactly.
100%. Like, you know, in between, like, the meals, you get that sorbet when you're at, like, fancy weddings and shit, and it's to cleanse the palate. That's exactly what we need right now.
Yeah. I mean, don't get us wrong. You know, quick disclaimer, it's a great fucking show, but it's not a show where you can just put it in the background and, you know, have background noise. This is a show you got to pay attention to beginning to end to understand why we are mind fucked the way we are.
100%. A little bit of background on this, right? So Evangelion just hit its 25th anniversary. Actually, yesterday, October 3rd, is when it hit its anniversary. And so I guess for a really long time, see, I never watched it until now. So Mike and probably Junior, you could touch upon a little bit. You probably saw it before. Well, I know Mike has for sure. And for the longest time, you could not find it. Where to watch, you'd have to pay for bootlegs and shit like that. But Netflix last summer picked up their streaming rights to it. They gave it a brand new dub, which I didn't know until before the show when Mike told me that it's a whole different dub cast. But they brought in a new one for this. And then on Saturday, GKIDS, got the acquisition of the American rights to it, as well as the rights to the end of Evangelion, which is the movie. And the deal will see that there's going to be a release of the films and the show on Blu-ray and digital download to own next year in 2021. It's the first for the United States. So that's going to be super fucking dope, because I literally told myself as I was watching on Netflix, wow, this show would look really good if it was really updated like the visuals were. So I'm actually really excited for that. Intro of the show. It's a pop culture icon and one of the most difficult to explain series, with an all convoluted backstories of Adam, Lilith, Shadow Organizations, the different impacts, the Angels, and the Avas. Even if someone has seen all 26 episodes and the movies, it's still a headache-inducing trying to make sense of it all. The show is a mix of Christian imagery, Jewish mysticism, post-war atomic paranoia, insecurities and confusions of being a teenager slash transitioning into adulthood, and mechas all compressed into 26 episodes, with one of the most divisive endings in all of anime, and as a damn sure has a banger of an intro. Cruel Angel's Thesis, hands down one of the top anime intros.
Yes, no sir.
No doubt. Mike, why don't you let them know the settings?
I will, but first, that intro is a fucking banger, man. I made sure to put that in caps, by the way.
No, that's why I'm really enthusiastic. Also, all the covers of it I heard, also so, super good.
I haven't heard a bad cover. I've heard the one in the calculator, and it's fucking awesome.
Oh, you're going to link me that, because I never heard that.
No, the one we just saw with the Spanish cover, and holy shit, that just shot up to my top 10. No lie.
Super good.
So the setting, it's in a apocalyptic alternate universe. The world is under constant attack from mysterious beings called angels, with the intent of bringing the end of the human race. In traditional good versus evil plot, the humans have created an organization for the survival called NERV. I couldn't find any sort of thing to see what NERV stood for, so we're just gonna go with NERV. And they also have a collection of giant sentient bio-robots called Evangelions, or Evas for short, to fight the oncoming threat. It wouldn't be an anime if the Evas were piloted by highly trained pilots, so instead we got a group of inexperienced, angsty teenagers who must fight to save the planet. Or we also used to exist in a cataclysmic event known as the Third Impact, of course. Unbeknownst to everybody, there's a secret society bent on completion of the human instrumentality project in order to bring about the new age of human evolution. If you're not confused yet by all of this, you buckle in, you're in for a fucking ride.
Now, real quick here, NERV, I looked it up. It's actually just German for nerve.
Yeah.
And that all the other organizations in this show are actually just German words. I did not know that.
Nerve as in, like, nerve
like
ending?
Your nerve ending. Yeah, like, your nerves, body. Yeah. Yes.
Oh, okay. That's why I couldn't find anything. I was like, what the hell is it supposed to be an acronym for?
And as we get into more detail, I mean, you kind of, you know, makes sense that nerve, you know, has to deal with, like, the mind and everything that controls the whole body.
Yep.
So it would make sense that the main headquarters would be called nerve.
All right, let's get into the characters. Junior, you start.
All right, so with the characters, we have obviously the protagonist. His name would be Shinji Ikari. He lost his mother as a kid and was heavily neglected by his father. Shinji never really had any purpose of meaning in his life until his father, finally having a need for him, calls him to Tokyo 3 to work for NERV as an EVA pilot. Normally, this kind of development would have our character develop into a more of a rowdy troublemaker with an actual backbone, but instead, Shinji regresses into himself. He himself suffers from a major psychological issue, including a massive guilt complex that makes him believe that every bad situation he has ever been involved in, regardless if it was actually influenced by him or the situations around him, is entirely his fault, bringing down his self-worth, self-esteem to nothing. He also suffers from Hedgehog's Dilemma, as he is unable to form a meaningful relationship without getting emotionally damaged by the very relationships he is attempting to form. This makes him a social introvert, and it becomes a reoccurring theme that Shinji, instead of facing problems head-on and not blame himself for everything that goes wrong, instead chooses to hide in his room with his headphones on or simply runs away from everything, i.e. he's a little bitch.
Big facts, though.
And I got... And after watching the video, I got no sympathy for him.
Bro, yeah, I was going to say, as the movie's going, so I have myself muted as we watch the movie, and I'm just, like, yelling because I'm getting mad. Like, I'm like, bro, just stop being a bitch, dude. Like, my God. But, like, yeah, I don't know, it's weird, man.
I mean, I understand, you know, like, the whole, you know, mental health issues and everything like that or whatever, but the fact that he would get pissed off after the fact that he did nothing... And he's kind of like trying to put the blame on something else. It's like, no, this is your fault. This all this shit is happening because of you. You know, yeah. You got no right to be upset the way you are over this.
Yeah, I agree. But this is just a compilation for the show, though. This has not this doesn't have the movie in it, but in the movie, they turned that useless factor up to a fucking 12. It went from like a 7 or an 8. He was still kind of annoying, but in the movie, I just wanted to grab him by the fucking neck and shake him and be like, do something, you fucking useless piece of shit.
Yeah, pretty much. Pretty much.
The next character on the list is Asuka Langley Soryu. Asuka suffers from pretty much the same problems as Shinji. She had a messed up childhood, finding her mom dead after committing suicide when she was a child. She is much more outgoing sometimes, to the point of being annoying, with an attitude of smugness and superiority to cover up her anxieties. As the pilot to EVA Unit 2, she makes her debut in Episode 8, showing off her impressive piloting skills and excelling at everything Shinji has difficulties with. As the show moves forward, her anxieties begin to surface, and she becomes much more jaded and angry, as her mental state requires her to receive continual praise and admiration from basically everyone. Otherwise, her self-worth begins to drop down near to Shinji's level. Yeah, later into the show, you really start to see her brain and like her mental state unravel really bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like, she's like one of the only characters that I kind of did feel sorry for her, because she was trying to cover up so much of what happened to her in her childhood, and she was trying so damn hard just for it to completely shatter, all because, I mean, let's face it, all because she met Shinji. Like, yeah. It all just comes falling apart because of that. And like I said, she's like one of the few characters in the show that I actually did genuinely feel sorry for.
I kind of did, but like... Like it says here, it goes to the point where she does do all this to block herself away and hide it, but it gets to the point where she is so annoying as well.
Yeah.
It's another one of those characters where I just want to wring her fucking neck and be like, act fucking normal.
Like, shut the fuck up.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we got to deal with. This kind of show, they have a lot of mental problems, and you can't just be like, hey, you know, get in the fucking robot.
100%, 100%. What do we got next there, Mike?
The next character is Rei Ayanami. As a character, we can't really talk too much about her without getting into spoiler territory for the listeners. But for the majority of the show, she remains kind of shrouded in mystery. We know she's a test pilot for EVA Unit 0. She has some sort of personal connection with Shinji's father, Gendo Ikari. Rei is the iconic, emotionless, doll-like character. The irony is that Evangelion's creator, Hideaki Anno, created her character to show kind of how creepy and emotionless a lifeless doll-like character can be. Instead, she ended up becoming her own character archetype, and since then, we've seen it explode in many, many fucking attempted clones, all with the same emotionless behavior. They have become more recognizable than her, but she's pretty much the prototype for that archetype herself.
She kind of reminds me of, like, all the, like, the robot movies we see where, like, it starts off as being, like, this basic robot type of deal, whatever, and it's always trying to be implemented with, like, human emotion, and slowly it starts evolving to actually have the human emotion where it gets to the point where the robot itself can't decide whether it's robot or human. Like, it can't distinguish itself.
Not only robots, but it's just that coldless, cold, unfeeling, uncaring character archetype that she prototyped. It's like Sesshomaru in Inuyasha or Sasuke in Naruto. It's those, like, you know, cool, laid back, mysterious, you don't know what the hell they're thinking or what they're gonna do characters. And she's the one who pioneered that, or the guy. And funny enough, like it says there, he did it to be like creepy about it, to show how somebody can be so emotionless, and it just backfired totally, and it just created a whole new...
It created a whole different character for people to use moving forward.
Yeah. 100%.
100%. Junior, you get to wrap it up for us here with Misato.
Alright, so our last character is Misato Katsuragi. She's the operations director in charge of most of the angel battles, as well as being sort of a mentor to the Evangelion pilots. Regardless of her qualifications as an adult role model, her personality allows for changes depending on the situation. She's able to keep calm, collected during a mission, but also to be more carefree and let loose when she's off the clock. Like everybody else in the show, she suffers from her own personal trauma, mostly stemming from being a survivor of the second impact, the catastrophic event that originally introduced the angels to the human race. She seems to deal with her trauma better than both Shinji and Asuka, allowing her to seem more upbeat in normal everyday life. The vast number of characters and relationships they have to one another are far too many to talk about in this episode. We'll let you all go ahead and explain them to for yourselves if you decide to check out the show. But just know that pretty much everyone is fucked or broken in their own way. Even if they're background characters or the main protagonists, some due to the PTSD from all the chaotic events happening around them, of having to deal with living in a world of constant threat, and others having to deal with their own upbringings.
Misato is probably hands down my favorite character.
Yeah, hands down for me as well. She's just a fucking total badass in everything she does. And the way, like, I understand, I can't say I understand, but I kind of understand how she tries to deal with all of the emotions that she has, like all the, you know, PTSD or whatever. The way she tries to handle it, it's not the right way, but I guess it's more normal compared to the other two characters.
Yeah,
like 100%. she tries to drown her sorrows by just seeking out physical pleasure, you know, i.e. sex, and drinking her problems away. You know, and kind of relate that, you know, to real life. You see that a lot more often than not, you know, compared to other shows that you watch or other animes where it's all like Sasuke, for example, from Naruto, now that Mike mentioned it, his whole dilemma was that, you know, he was trying to go after the guy that, you know, killed his family and everything or whatever, but he never really had a plan for after that fact. Whereas Misato in this show, she knows she doesn't have a plan for trying to get past whatever she's trying, and it's the harder she tries, the harder it becomes, and so she seeks booze and, you know, sex and to dick. Try to drown all that. Yeah, pretty much. She seeks those two things to try to block everything else away from her. But then her other problem is that she focuses too much on her job, which just kind of like builds up more stress, so then she reverts back to what she was doing.
But that's what I like about this show, though, that she is the adult, she is the parental, you know, person for these kids, and they do show her as that. They show her as being the adult. The kids, they're fucking teenagers, they can't handle all this stress and all this fucking abuse they're going through, you know, and it shows in them. She's handling it much better, like an adult would.
Yeah, also rocking the nice standard 90s anime bangs. Fuck yeah, let's do it. I'm into it.
That 90s red jacket.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, and the car and everything. Yeah, I honestly I just think Misato's character, probably as us being adults, is way more relatable, obviously, than the other ones, where I feel like everybody as an adult at some point in time tries to cope with their own issues or trauma or whatever, and seeing how Misato, I think, handles it, at least connected to me in a way where I'm like, you know what, I get that, like, I understand. So mm-hmm. I honestly think
it's not a phase, mom.
Yeah, it's not a phase, mom. Look at these fucking bangs.
It's not a fucking phase, I just want to feel okay.
Yeah, exactly, dude, for real. Let's get into the story. I'll take this one. The main focus of Evangelion has always been its characters and their development. Every character has interesting aspects that the viewer would like to be explored, and the show explores them, usually in a fashion that raises more questions about the characters than it answers. In addition to that, Evangelion also follows your standard mecha anime with a Monster of the Week setup. Any given episode will have a new angel appear terrorizing Tokyo 3 to make their way down to Nerve HQ, which will climax to the Ava pilots finding a way to quickly defeat the angels, usually ending up in the exploding in a symbolic cross-like fashion before the episode ends, and we get to do it all over again next week. But as the show progresses, the usual tropes of mecha anime start to deteriorate, usually in correlation to the mental health of the main protagonist. Plot elements get introduced that make the show change from your typical mecha to something darker, more in the lines of psychological horror. That is further implemented when the show focuses less on the actual battle scenes between the Avas and the Angels and more on the characters and their turmoils. 110%, you really start to, I would say, the back 25% of the show, it takes a really dark turn. Really, really dark turn.
Like, for me, like, halfway through the series, I guess, like, around episode, like, I want to say, like, 10 after Asuka's introduction, like, it does still go into, like, the whole mecha battles and everything, you know, it's like, alright, it's a fucking badass, you know, like, kick that angel's ass type of deal. But then, like, you just explained it, you start seeing more of the backstory, you know, outside of the mechas, you know, like, what's their lives like outside of it. And that's when it starts, you know, getting really heavy as far as, like, emotions and your thought process on what the fuck is going on. Like, you really start seeing how these characters deal with all the shit that's going on, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you. Towards, like, episode 16-ish, you start seeing that focus change from the actual battles themselves and more into what's actually happening inside the cockpit with the pilot, and not only that, but outside of battle itself, you see them struggle with their.
I mean, the best way I would be able to explain it would be like if you sat down with a soldier who had PTSD, and he had no qualms about telling you his whole entire thought process on before, during, and after everything.
Yeah,
you know, like it's just a real emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, very, very true. Very true. And then we have the ending, Mr. Mike.
So the ending of Neon Genesis Evangelion is arguably one of the most divisive endings in all of an anime. Thanks, Max. Some people love it and think it's just the perfect ending to everything. And some people are still furious over it. Over fucking, what, it's been 20, 25 years, you said?
25 years.
And they're still mad about it. So much so that Hideki Anno, the creator for Evangelion, received death threats. And he actually had to go out of his way to make two separate movies. The one we just watched, and then another one because he still didn't fucking like that one. Just to calm down the fucking rabid otakus. Some say that the funding for the show was running dry, which is why you see that change in the last couple episodes take such a drastic turn compared to the rest of the show, while others say it is exactly what the creator Anno wanted from the beginning of the show. Who really knows what the truth is? I can find it, but we'll try to break it down the best we can and give you our take of what it all means. We can't go too much into the ending without spoilers, which we have been trying to avoid as much as we can. So this is a big, big, big spoiler warning. It's actually written in capital letters. So moving forward, this is where the spoilers start. Get ready. And if you're not ready, turn it off.
Spoilers!
Alright, so, again, you've all been warned. So, with the final two episodes, as the Human Instrumentality Project begins, and the souls of all humanity begin to merge, the gears kind of shift to a purely internal POV point of view, a drastic refocusing and change of narrative format, and we're presented with a more psychological profiling of our main characters in the form of internal monologue, and the audience is left with questions like, what actually happens to Shinji and Asuka and humanity? Like, what the fuck is going on at pretty much? And I can 100% agree, it's just a mind fuck. The thing is that with all these questions, it's pretty much just meaningless for now, or when considered outside of the context of Shinji and the other main characters. I mean, right now, just thinking about the series and thinking about the movie, the more and more I try to wrap my mind around what the thought process of trying to implement what their thought process was, is like, what kind of creative genius would come up with this? Because it's like, holy fuck. I don't know.
But to truly understand Shinji and the other pilots, we need to understand Hideki Anno, the creator. Despite his skill as an animator, that's not what is responsible for Neon Genesis Evangelion's lasting impact, at least not alone. It's his lifelong battle with clinical depression that's more responsible. His search for meaning and personal resolution, his growing disillusionment with otaku culture, went on to influence every decision he made when given the opportunity to make his own show. This is what Evangelion is really about, Anno's own battle with mental illness. Shinji as a character is an audience surrogate. It's easy to be distracted by the power of fantasy and being charged with piloting a giant robot to save the world. But he's also a surrogate for the author, and the show is fundamentally built around Shinji's core mental instability. From the moment we meet Shinji, we're introduced to his depression. Immediately, we understand the distance he feels from his father, Gendo, and his inability to be close to people. This is his war. His battle is with himself, not the angels. The part of the audience that just said, get over himself, just get in his robot, go beat some ass, don't seem to recognize that he's fighting his battle even when he's not physically fighting. And when he does physically fight, it's only in service to make his dad proud and close the distance between them. This is something that he acknowledges in episode 12. After the almost mass extinction of the human race, the show barely spends any time setting up the stakes of actually saving the world. It overwhelmingly feels like all is already lost. A relatable feeling to anyone who has struggled with depression.
Yep. This show is about saving the world. Or this show isn't about saving the world, at least not totally. It's about these characters saving themselves. Time and time again, the show goes back to their own personal turmoil. Shinji wanted to be close to his father and coping with the loss of his mother, raising an ability to relate to other people. Asuka's depression. Desperation to feel validated and wanted. Gendo wanted to be with Yui again. That's his Shinji's mother and father. Seato's filling her void with alcoholism and expressing her sexuality to feel close to anyone. What other way could the show possibly end but by Shinji and Asuka being forced to finally confront everything they've been battling against since we first met them? The last two episodes are an authored attempt by Hideaki Anno to break through the audience with the most absolute, pertinent element of the show. That despite the theology, despite psychology, despite philosophy, despite everything, one truth remains clear. Final feeling comes from within. Shinji recognizes his own depression, his own inability to connect, and singular focus of the other characters comes from head in when the only way it can in his head. That's why in the last couple episodes you see him just dealing with all that, and in coming to conclusion that he needs to accept himself, accept his suffering, and learn to be better in the single most way is the single most mature way the show could end. It's a personal story about the author and how he dealt with his mental issues.
And pretty much with all that, of course, not everybody was happy with the ending. I mean, you can't satisfy everybody, right? So that's why we call it, or that's why it is called, the most divisive ending in all of anime. Or I wouldn't say all of anime, but just in anime in general. Hideaki made two more movies for the part of the audience who wanted closure as to what happens with the end of the world scenario. With Adam and Lilith, with the Avas, all of that. A more action and on-the-surface ending that you don't have to dig through layers to find, but still has a mind fuck to it. Both endings pretty much just fuck with you all around.
I would say, so that wraps up basically like the explanation of, in short, I mean, even though, yes, it is a lot that we have written down here, but like it's still in short, right? That kind of sums up the show. what I think is so, something that gets a little maybe glossed over at times, but the biggest thing to me is how the show ends with Anno himself saying, "There's more to life than these fantasies. Go live them." And it's really him begging the main character, which you end up figuring out is you, to just go live your life. And that's so crazy to me, when you think about it, because, Mike's really good about this, though, when he picks these fucking mind-fucked ones, because another one that always makes me think of is Fate, Unlimited Blade Works, because, like, remember the ending, and I'm like, I had to, like, text Mike immediately, like, I don't understand what happened, and when I finished this one, I texted him, and I'm like, I don't understand. He's like, oh, you don't? He's like, oh, we'll watch the movie. It's going to clear things up. We watched the movie, and me and Junior and Meteor are like, that didn't do anything for me, except it confused me even more.
That just confused me more.
The ending is so... Because it's like, it's weird, right? You see Shinji, that alternate world where, like, they're all alive, there's no Avas, and, like, he just gets to live his normal life. And Asuka and everyone, Rei, and, like, everybody's there. And his parents are together, and it's like, it's just his own, happy place. And it's so weird then, and it's like it just ends and you're like, okay, I don't know. So
I think like that is, if it would have ended like that, then it would have been kind of like in your mind that like, okay, like everything that happened, you know, happened for a reason, and now he's at peace within himself and his mind, and that's his ending.
Yeah.
But the fact that it did not end like that, it had still that extra piece towards the end, where it's them two, you know, lying on the beach or whatever. That's what's like going through my mind, like, which one's the real ending then? Like, is he going to continue living by himself? I mean, or is he going to off himself, or what the fuck is going to happen? Because he still hasn't really accepted him 100%. He hasn't accepted himself
100%. So what I got, and this is just me, I honestly haven't done any research on it, but what I got from the show is that we get the ending and the movie ending at the same time. We just see him from two different points of view. Mm. In the show, we see it from the point of view of Shinji and Asuka in their head, confronting, making peace with their demons, and you know, moving on from all that turmoil, coming to terms with everything that they've been, you know, plagued by. And at the same time, the third impact is happening. That's why in the show that loses all focus and we just go straight to them and dealing with their thing. But the movie, we go back to that third impact happening. The show part is still happening, but the movie's also happening. So we're playing both at the same time, right? Mm. So in the movie, you see the third impact happening and everybody turning into this orange liquid thing. So the point of the third impact, like we discussed in the part of this the meat of this fucking paragraph, it was to get humanity to evolve past what we are right now, to make us a single organism, you know, sharing one soul, one body, one everything, one mind, but at the same time we're also in there, in our own state of being.
Yeah, like just to touch a little bit upon that is the fact that the three or four characters, Shinji, Rei, Asuka, and Misato, they are dealing with their own problems, their own, you know, type of depression or whatever and things like that. But the one common thing that they all have is that they all feel lonely. They all feel unaccepted, and they're trying to figure out ways on how to get people to accept them.
And I think it's like, more of accepting themselves.
Well, yeah, that too. But the thing is, like, they don't really realize that until towards the end. So with the human instrumentality. Thank you. The human instrumentality.
these are big words. Yeah. I had fucking trouble with them.
Is that Gendo, which is Shinji's dad? You know, he's going through his own, you know, depression or whatever after losing his wife. You know, Shinji's mother. Is that he's trying to fill that void and have everybody fill that void at the same time by making everybody be one. You know, like, everybody's going to comfort each other and nobody's going to feel pain, nobody's going to feel sadness or depression because we're all going to be there for each other type of thing. And in a way, like, I kind of understand where he's coming from because everybody needs somebody. Like, nobody wants to be alone. You know, let's face facts. You know, the more alone you are, the deeper you go into your thoughts, the darker your thoughts get, right? So he's trying to create this world by using the Avas, by using the angels, where nobody has to suffer through all that.
I think this is a story, it's a personal story about the author, but I think he left it so vague so that anybody who watches it can insert themselves into this story.
Right.
And you get your own, so whatever thoughts you get out of it, whatever you get out of it, that's the right answer. You know, so my answer can be correct, your answer can be correct, the next person's answer can be correct. So everybody has their own interpretation. That's why it's so divisive, it's so divisive, because not everybody thinks alike. And that's what makes this show one of the greatest
mindfucks
anime, one of the greatest everything of all time, is just because there's so many ways to interpret it, so many ways to watch the show, and then this is like my fourth time watching it, and every single time I watch it, I come out of it in a new mindset, thinking something new out of it. It's always just like, holy shit, how did I not see this?
Oh, 100%. Because for me, it's my second time watching it, and the first time I watched it, I was kind of like just in a state of like, what the hell did I just watch? Like he said, every time you watch it, or whoever watches it, or whatever, comes out with a different answer to it. And I feel like as you grow older or whatever, or as, you know, events happen around you, if you were to rewatch this show at certain points in those events, you would come out with it with a new perspective each time. Simply because it's a psychological horror, or I wouldn't say a horror, but it's a psychological thriller of an anime. You know, it induces those thoughts in your head, depending on your mood, depending on your emotions, depending on what's going on around you, that helps you come out with a different perspective each time.
Yeah. You know, and if you're looking at it with a clear head, you know, you're not going through any problems. And at face value, this story is still, it's still kind of fucked. At the end of the day, it's about humanity going through an apocalypse and fucking losing. You know, the world does end up getting destroyed, and everybody just
twice.
Ends up, yeah, and that last one in the movie, it ends up everybody's fucking dead. They're just one single. It's like primordial Earth, you know, when it's a new beginning, and that new evolution will happen. So I guess it's a sad, happy ending, and then everybody who had, or the main characters, I shouldn't say everybody who had their own psychological problems, they managed to deal with it and get that taken care of before, you know, shit hit the fan.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I do believe that it is one of those where, like you said, you could take your own impression of it as you're watching it, right? I recommended it to somebody, her name's Elaine, and she started it. I hadn't gotten to the end yet, and she's like talking about it, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's the best part. And then like I got to the end, and all I thought to myself was like, oh man, it's gonna be a rough one when they I can't really explain it. I don't have an explanation for the ending. It really was just I like the idea of where you said, Mike, that it's from two perspectives. The show ends and it's inside Shinji's mind. Like, that's the perspective that you get. It's everything coming together and what's happening in his mind as this impact is happening. Whereas the movie, you're witnessing the impact from the outside. Like, you're seeing it happen.
Shit hits the fan of what's going down while we are inside the head, inside his mind in the show.
Yeah, I think that's a really, really good way to explain it. Because it is, when you kind of look at it that way, like, I don't know about you, Junior, but as I now think of it that way, it does make a little bit more sense to me, where I'm like, okay, now I kind of get what it was going for. Also, like, there is definitely a very different tone towards the end of the show, specifically because episodes 1 through 24 really set you up, like, you're about to have this, like, big battle, and then episode 25 comes and it's like, no, that's not it. That's
like, not just pretty much just that, like, pretty much the whole episode is just dialogue, and like we mentioned a couple times already, it's all taking place inside of Shinji's head. So it's all pretty much one big monologue from beginning to end, and all the voices or whatever that he's hearing are from the people that he's interacted with and things like that, all telling him different things, but they're all telling him the same thing all at the same time. And you think about it, anytime you have a decision to make or you're thinking about something or whatever, you actually go through that thought process. Like, you're talking to yourself mentally. Should I do this? Should I do that? Should I say this? How is this person going to react? How's, you know, what's going to happen if I do this? Or, you know, real life matters, you know, like with your bills or whatever. It's like, if I postpone this, can I postpone that one? You know, things like that. And it's pretty much his whole thought process while all of this is happening outside of him.
And you put yourself in the character.
Yeah, exactly.
But to put it more lightly, Ryan, that episode 1-24 analogy. It's like like in Konosuba when the Dulahan, when they put the curse on darkness, and he's like, now you gotta come to my castle and deal with this, and then the fucking Aqua's just like, oh, taken care of, we don't gotta do that.
Yeah, that pissed me off. It still does. I love that show, by the way, but man, that really pisses me off. This show is almost to me, when the tone of it is kind of Game of Thrones-esque, where it's like you go into it thinking like, oh no, everything's gonna be cool, and it ends and you're like, nope, nothing's good, everyone's dead, fuck off, like this is just what
it's a dark story, man.
Now, Mike, obviously you recommended it, so when it comes to would you recommending it, obviously you would, but what made you want to recommend it to us, I guess, but to other people as well?
It's just such a big pop culture icon, like we said before, and it's like, it's so big, it's been printed fucking everywhere, it's even in some games, and for it being so big and so popular, before Netflix acquired it, you couldn't fucking find it anywhere.
Right.
It was so weird. But it's just one of those where you see it and you're like, what the fuck did I just watch? I gotta sit here and think about this and get my fucking, you know, dot my I's and cross my T's and really think about what the hell is going on. And this is why I like doing this podcast and watching anime with a group of people, because we can conversate, we can talk about it and see other people's point of views and make sense of what we are watching. So if somebody is going to watch it out there and you can watch it with somebody else, do it so you can get their point of view and see what is going on.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that point you just made, because sometimes you're watching a show or whatever and something happens or somebody says something or whatever, and you're thinking to yourself that maybe it's going to get explained, but it never does. Watching it with somebody, you know, like either next to you or in stream or however you want to watch it, you know, with a group of people, you can pause it and try to discuss amongst you, like, what the fuck just happened or why the fuck did they just do that type of deal, you know? And somebody might have a funny answer, somebody might have a serious answer, who knows? But at least you're walking away with an answer.
Yeah, every head is a different world, and talking about things will get you sometimes to look at other things in a different mindset that you would have not thought of yourself, you know, in that point in time. 100%. So would I recommend it? Yes, 110%. But if you can watch it with somebody else and talk about it, I would recommend it 200%.
Yeah, Junior, where are you at on recommending it to people?
I would have to recommend it to somebody that I know watches a lot of anime. Somebody that's gonna sit there and watch it and try to pay attention to it. In other words, I wouldn't recommend it to a casual. A casual is probably gonna lose interest in it.
Sorry, I don't mean to cut you off, but good point. Great point.
Like, a casual is probably gonna
recommend it to adults. Somebody who has an adult way of thinking, because kids are going to be like, what the fuck is this?
Yeah, they're going to lose interest by like episode 5 or 6. You know, once it starts dabbling into the whole, you know, mind issues and mental health issues, they're going to lose interest in it. But somebody who enjoys watching anime and watching the more serious type stuff, yeah, I would 100% recommend this show.
Yeah, that's honestly, great point. Because I know a lot of people that watch anime, but it's not like... for instance, right? We know obviously our boy Dan the Freaks to Frigo. He's jumped back in the anime and he's watching Naruto right now, rewatching it. I think that if Dan or like Lord Voldemort or any of those, like if they were watch it with us, like in the group, I think they'd be a little bit better than it just to watch on their own until you really start to dabble into different anime. Like my buddy Alex, who loves Naruto, loves Shippuden so much. He watched My Hero Academia, loved it, stuff like that. Those type of animes, it's a little bit different, where I think, like you said, a casual, anybody can watch it. This is something where, like, if you really, really enjoy anime, but you also enjoy something that's going to touch you on more of a deeper level and more of a mental level, it's fantastic, I think. So I think the people in our group would enjoy it. I just think that it's one of those where, like, you have to know that, like, you can't fuck around and you're going to, like, it, like Junior touched upon it earlier in the show. You can't, it's not something that you can just throw on in the background. It comes off that way in the beginning, because in the beginning, you kind of look at it as it's just a mecha anime. But it very quickly, the tone begins to shift and move, and there's a lot of different pieces going on. Like, you know, even the questions about what's going on with the Evangelions and what's the secret of Nerve, and like, they kind of really don't answer that. Like, they kind of do in a way. It's like there's this other group, this all knowing, this mighty group that's just like, fuck you, we're gonna end it now, we're ending everything. But like,
it's Siri,
it's just so, it's so weird, because you think, I think in the beginning of that show, you really think like, okay, here's the plot, here's where it's gonna go, we're gonna go in this direction, and it just doesn't. Like, it does, there's no big payoff like that, where it's just something that really, really touches you mentally in a way that you're like, it makes you do a lot of thinking. And it's one of the, I think that's why I enjoyed it so much. So I would recommend it to somebody 100%, but I agree with both of you where it's like, it, that has to be somebody that's going to sit there and really like dissect it and pay attention. And also, like Mike said, watching it with a group of people and being able to bounce an idea and bounce it off of each other, what they think, like we're doing right now, is big, because it's like you start to pick up on things. Like I said earlier, I wouldn't even thought about the whole, okay, the show tells you when this perspective, but the movie tells you this perspective. I wouldn't even thought of that if Mike didn't bring that up. So I think that it's such a, it's one of those where now I understand, because when we went through, I think it was episode 2, we went through IGN's top 25 anime list, and Evangelion was like number 3, I think it was. I think it came out at number 3, just behind Monster and obviously Brotherhood. And Mike instantly was like, oh, it's so good. And I was like, I've never seen it. He's like, you have to. You have to watch it. And I'm like, okay.
And, yeah, like I think I've mentioned that I've seen it, but that was like years ago. So rewatching it again really helped, you know, refresh all the mind fuckery, I guess.
100%. I just think that it's one of those, you can really, after you finish it, you understand why it's such a pop culture icon from that early 90s anime. Because if you really think about it, right, during that time, we were getting Dragon Ball Z, we were getting Sailor Moon, it was a little bit before Cowboy Bebop, but like, this show and its darker tones, I think, is what allows a lot of these other shows. I mean, even at times when you watch Naruto, you start to pick up on some of the darker tones at times it tries to tell you. And you start to really see the influence from this show on a lot of different ones. Because even like your big shonen animes, like, will still take pieces from here and get into more serious stories with you.
Yeah, the things like, right now that you mentioned that, like, with those shonens, you know, that, you know, touch upon, you know, darker aspects of, you know, like, the human heart, or, you know, the emotions that somebody goes through, whatever, towards, like, the end of the episode, or maybe depending on the arc, they always kind of have, like, a message to it. Whereas with this one, it really didn't have much of a message other than just putting, you know, the evils of the human mind out there for you to look at. And you have to interpret what's good, what's evil, what's right, what's wrong.
100%.
Well, and like we said, like, every answer is right. Whatever you come out of is right. Just make sure you put your fucking phone down and actually pay attention and get ready to think outside the box and get ready for an existential crisis once the real thinking fucking starts.
I was
literally texting these guys as I was writing some of this stuff down. I was like, I have so much stuff in my brain. My brain's fried.
Yeah, that's why the last gaming show I opened up with, like, does it ever feel like the world is just gonna end? Like, it's just all bullshit.
Now is the perfect time to bring that in.
Yeah. And that was because I had just finished watching that last episode, and I was still trying to wrap my mind around it, like, what the fuck did I just watch?
And like we said, everything's right, so we better not get some fucking emails and calls about, like, you got this wrong, you dipshit. No, you sit down, you watch the show, did the research.
I mean, all three of us right now have completely different answers for what we thought of it is. I think it's all three answers are correct.
Yeah, and we all agree.
Whatever emails, whatever voicemails, whatever texts,
tweets,
all we're gonna say is, you're correct.
100%. It is something that I think everyone can interpret for themselves, and I do highly recommend it to anybody that is an anime fan to really, if you want something that's going to test you and it's going to make you question a lot of things. It'll make you question yourself, question like, okay, so like, what was the, I mean, like, obviously, you know, Shinji's the protagonist, but like, is he a good protagonist? Is he bad? Like, what is it?
Oh, don't ask me that. Right, but I wanted to wring his fucking neck.
No, but like, besides the fact that he was being a bitch, right? Besides that, like, is he, like, because you just see Shinji as a broken person, really.
He's having a total fucking mental breakdown. Yeah, I
think it's, you know, you learn a lot of it. Like, you've seen, you see him really burnt the fuck out. Bad burnout towards the end of that, and like dealing with the stress of piloting an Evangelion and like everything, dude, like it is fucking wild. Mike, where does this rank for, not like I guess a given number, but like where is it on your favorite animes?
My favorite animes, this is a tough one. I think that list we mentioned earlier where it came in three, I think that's where I would put it. Three or four, definitely top five. My my third eye is open. I'm like Joe Rogan now. I need some DMT. and I would put it up there.
Junior, how about yourself?
Same. I would put it like around four or five. I mean, like he said, you know, it really makes you think. And any anime that, you know, especially an anime that's able to make you think, to make you actually sit there and go through your thoughts, you know, and, you know, pretty much bring in real life type of thoughts, you know, in outside of the world type of shit, you know, and try to relate to it. Any anime that's able to do that, they did a fantastic job at what they were trying to do. So definitely top five.
Yeah, I would put it around five, I think, for me. Like, it's one of those where, one, I love mech animes anyway. I think they're great. But this one is just so different in a way that it makes you question a lot of things. And it takes a lot of influence from the outside world, like from the real world, and brings it into the show. And does a really good job of that. And that's why I think at the end of the day, you know, the creator, Anno, I think accomplished whatever the fuck he was trying to accomplish. Like, there is so much that he's able to bring his issues to life in this creation, in this project that he worked on, in the story that he told. And that's why I think just from that alone, and then to see, like, because it's so funny when you talk about being a pop culture phenomenon, like when it hit the 25th anniversary, which again, we didn't know that. We decided to watch this.
No
fucking clue. It just was good timing. I saw like all these like websites posting about it, and I'm like, holy shit, like this is really actually a thing. Like, here I was thinking Mike's just a nerd, but like, this
no, it was a pleasant surprise that it was the 25th year anniversary.
I loved it, because like I said earlier, I was sitting there like, man, this would look so good like on like a 4K or Blu-ray or something. Like, this would be really nice. They're like, oh yeah, it's coming next year. I'm like, oh cool, thank you.
On Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Like, okay, cool.
Cool. I will add that to the collection, because I think this is a really good anime. But yeah, I think five. I think that's a perfect spot for it. Before we wrap it up, is there anything else that you guys want to touch upon with this show? I know there's a lot.
I do have a question.
Okay.
So like video games, like games pride themselves in, replayability, like Skyrim, replayed it over and over and over again. So for anime, what's the rewatchability for this? Would you watch this show again, see if it makes you feel different or think different at a later date, you know?
At a later date. Like anytime, because there's some animes, especially maybe some episodes where it's like, damn, I gotta rewatch that. Like, not because like you're trying to get something new out of it, but because it was like, that was fucking awesome, or, you know, I really enjoyed it. But with this show, like, I would try to rewatch it like sometime later, like maybe 2, 3, 4 years later, maybe.
Yeah, it's a thing. I think I would rewatch it. I think that just the fact that you get something different out of it, and to see maybe what I missed, because this is my only first time watching it, so I would like to watch it again at a later day, give it a little bit of time, Like, I think I told Junior, right? Like, I started randomly. I was like, I think I was at work or something, and I didn't have a lot going on. And I'm like, I'm going to watch the second season of Sword Art Online. Fuck it. And I started it, and then I'm like, I need to stop because I have to focus on this. So, like, I went back to this. I made sure I finished it, and I, like, you know, but I would like to go back again and rewatch it again and see what else comes at it. Like, now, I think now that I'm done with this, I'm going to – I'm at, like, episode, like, 350, I think, in Shippuden, around there. I would really like to just finish Shippuden, and then I'll feel like I accomplished something at that point. I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm good. Now I can go do something else. I can go watch something different. And, you know, I'll feel more. Because what makes this so much easier, I think, to do is it's only one season. It's only 26 episodes, and then it's done. And then the movie, obviously. But, like, I think that's a little bit easier where there's so many shows where it's like, oh, this is like five fucking seasons. And I'm like, I really don't want to do that right now. But I think the replayability on this is really high.
Okay, okay.
Obviously, you must too. This is your fourth time through it.
Right?
Well, that's the thing. For me, it's like playing a lore heavy game. A lore heavy game, like The Elder Scrolls or D&D or something. When you come in your second time or third time or even fourth time, you kind of get an idea of the world building and the aspect of it, the characters, you get an idea what you're going in for. So you get a chance to step back a bit and look at the whole picture of things that you might have missed the viewing before that. But it's such a brain drain, man. It's so mentally just draining that I will watch it again. But like Max said, like maybe in a year and a half or two.
Yeah.
And see what,
like,
I get out of that.
Like another game you could probably, like, you know, attributed to would be like World of Warcraft. There are certain linear stories, you know, where anybody could, you know, figure out what's going on or whatever if you kind of pay attention. But then there's sub stories to every character outside of that. And the fact that, you know, this show has so many characters all going through all different fucking, you know, issues. Every time you rewatch it, you come out with a different idea of a certain character or a certain storyline, whatever. And all in all, great show. Big mindfuck.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. Anything else before we wrap this up?
Let's end it. I need Evangelion out of my brain.
let's go watch High School of the Dead or SAO or something.
Right,
let's
but yeah, a little bit easier. But yeah, watch it, fuckers.
You should 100% watch Evangelion. If anything, alone, just for the intro, it's a banger. As always, guys, let us know what you thought. Go on Twitter at BigJBShow. Tweet us. Let us know if you've watched Evangelion, what you think of it. That'd be pretty cool. Facebook.com/BigJBShow. UndeadRedBull.tv. Click on the merch tab. Get yourself some Big Jane BB Show and Undead Red Bull merch. Go to Twitch.tv/UndeadRedBull. Make sure you're there every Thursday night, 9 p.m. Central Time, when we record Gaming Weekly live on there. While you're there, give Slap Nugget a follow. Twitch.tv/Slap_Nugget. Make sure you follow my boy at Josh Barlog on Twitter. Monday through Friday, I join him for Natty Nights, 8 p.m. Central Time. If you missed the live stream, you can find it where you found the Big Jane BB Show on your podcast platform of choice. And of course, if you're looking to upgrade your video gaming chair experience, go to Triumph Chairs and use the code BigJBBShow, all one word, for 10% off your order. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us on this wonderful journey that was the recap of Neo Genesis Evangelion. Like I said, yeah, watch it. Tell us what you thought. I think it's great. So, Junior, take us away with the weeb quote of the week.
With pleasure. I still don't know where to find happiness, but I'll continue to think about whether it's good to be here, whether it was good to have been born. But in the end, it's just realizing the obvious over and over again, because I am myself. Shinji Ikari, Evangelion.
You stay breezy.
Fuck this shit, I'm out. Mm-mm. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
No thanks.
Don't mind me. I'ma just grab my stuff and leave. Excuse me, please. Fuck this shit, I'm out.
Nope.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.
All right then.
I don't know what the fuck just happened, but I don't really care. I'ma get the fuck up out of here.
Fuck this shit, I'm out.